And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are blessed again with having Carrie Cannon with us. And Carrie is the author of Uncovering the Divine Within. We've had an interview with her already about the book, yet there were parts of it that we didn't touch on. She also has a website called World Awakened and has a beautiful vision of where she wants this all to go and how she wants to be a part in it. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you very much, Lori. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, it's my pleasure because we really touched on a lot of great things, and I really wanted to have you back because I wanted to talk about the rest of it. So we talked a lot about self-love, and from what you're saying, you've kind of started to expand that. So we're looking at adding some more information that isn't even on the books yet. So this will be an exciting evening. But let's start with the laws of being a spiritual person.
We had sort of touched on that in an email, and I've been thinking about that. What does it mean to be a spiritual person? And I can really only go based on my own experience and what drives me spiritually. And what I found is my main motivating force in sort of defining myself as a spiritual person is constantly working on my stuff, constantly releasing my attachments to how things will show up, and really trying not to be a control freak. And that may sound funny, but the more I can let go of my need to be in control of anything in my life, and the more I can relax into just knowing that my mind is one with universal mind or God or whatever word we're using, the more I can align with that, the more I find that things just effortlessly pop into my life. And to me, that is really a large part of the self-love process. Because as we start to accept ourselves and accept all of how we show up, we start to trust ourselves. And in trusting ourselves, we don't necessarily hem and haw about which decision to make, you know, the decision based on lack and fear or the decision based on, okay, this is what I really want to do. And the more I align with this is what I really want to do and I'm going to face the fear and do it anyway and I'm just going to step off of that, you know, step through that boundary, the more I find that I am liberated. I become more and more personally liberated. And that is really my process of being a spiritual person, I guess we're calling it, is to just let go and trust.
You know,
and believe in myself.
Letting go is probably one of the more challenging things to do because we have all of these expectations. And we also place, you know, these expectations on ourselves. And we have these judgments about, you know, how we think things should be. And so they're all about expectations and judgments. And, you know, learning to let go is a process all on its own. How do you, you know, how do you help people with letting go?
There are a few processes I use. And I have a very eclectic approach when I work with my clients. I will refer them to other people's work. Like, for example, I might refer somebody to Byron Katie, or I might, you know, refer somebody to Eckhart Tolle, or whatever seems to suit the moment. And, or I might refer somebody to, you know, the Abraham Hicks work, or whatever it is. For me, what I'm finding right now, and we had discussed this just momentarily before the call, is that I'm finding that in my own work, I've started incorporating the emotional freedom technique, otherwise known as EFT or tapping. And I'm finding that if, like, when I feel resistance, it's not necessarily the same way most people would feel resistance. A lot of people might get to a point where they feel this strong resistance or challenge, and it might be on a scale of 1 to 10. It might be like 7, 8, 9, or 10. Mm-hmm. And I get to about a 3, yeah. and I'm like, oh, I need to take care of this. But what I'm finding with my clients and with my guinea pigs, because I really discovered how well I can incorporate that into my work about within the last couple of weeks, that it's just really combining the two is totally transformational. And it's just allowing, it's tapping and allowing myself to just let go of whatever that is and whatever controls I have in place. And I find that the more I let go of that, the more easily things happen. And I want to kind of give you an example of letting go without using, you know, the EFT technique, but something that happened to me about a year ago where a miracle, or maybe it was about 2 years ago, but it doesn't matter, but where a miracle happened, and it just kind of popped back into my experience recently. Would you mind if I
Absolutely.
Kind of shared that?
Yeah.
Okay. I was at Unity Village in Missouri. I think it's its own town or whatever. But I was at a spiritual retreat for a week, and I was considering becoming a Unity minister and going that route. And the whole week, we're just bombarded with all of these classes. I think I took four classes a day, and each class was 2 hours. And we were doing a class on Jesus' teachings or Jesus' miracles, something like that. And on Monday in this class, the person who was teaching the course didn't have her arm in a splint. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, she did. And on Wednesday, we were going through his miracles. And each one of his miracles, there was a pattern. And the pattern was he was presented with a problem. And then he would go within to ask himself if this was something that was his to address. And after he came out of it, he would do theatrics, like spitting on tongues, poking his fingers in people's ears, you know, whatever it took. And then the miracle happened. But when he came out of that meditation, he knew that the miracle could be performed. Mm. And it was obvious to everybody in this class that anyone could do a miracle, and it was our ability to believe in ourselves and to believe in that inner voice that would either hold us back or allow the miracle to happen.
Right.
And since this instructor's hand was in a splint, we went on break after an hour, and I asked, I said, you know, is there anything I can do to help this instructor and her hand? And I got, the answer I got was, just no. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, there's nothing else. It's just no. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to know. So I went back into the room, and I held her hand, and I said, I don't know how, but I just know that your hand will be healed. And within 2 seconds, somebody else walked in the room, and she said, hey, your hand is healed already. And the next day, she came in, and she didn't have the splint on her hand. And, you know, we asked her about it, and she said, you know, I woke up this morning, and my hand felt better than it has felt in years since before my car accident. And she said, I don't know what happened. I don't know if she blocked it out or whatever from the day before. But in that moment, when I told her that it would be healed, I knew that it was already healed, and no theatrics were needed. And then I spoke to her about a year later, and I asked her about the hand. I said, do you remember that experience? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, you know, I haven't even thought about the hand ever since then. And from that knowing and that relaxing into knowing that this is, you know, I'm being guided and this is what's going to happen, it happened. Right. And so recently I was having issues with a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't spoken to my best friend in about 9 months, and it was really bothering me. And I knew, like, it started off with my daughter had some stomach virus, and I had it along with her. And then for the next 3 weeks, I was just kind of nauseous. I wasn't, you know, it was just this nausea that I was carrying with me. And I asked myself about it, and it was an unsettled feeling, and it was because of this relationship being unsettled. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I started to get kind of angry about it because I couldn't talk to him. And that manifested in a double whammy of tonsillitis and strep throat.
Oh, dear.
And for two nights in a row, I couldn't sleep and because the pain was so great. And I'm not one to run to the doctor. I always feel like I need to do my spiritual work first. Mm-hmm. So I asked about it. And I said, is there any way of being able to heal this sore throat? And I knew that it was connected to my relationship issue. I knew that it also dealt with my inability to talk to him and anger that was coming up. And the answer I got once again was just no. And this was about 2 months ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I relaxed into knowing, and the just no was my ability to just relax into it. And as I relaxed into it and I let go of control over the situation, I could feel both my resistance to my throat hurting, which instantly it just stopped hurting, and I could feel my resistance to the way my relationship with my best friend was showing up. And it's funny because I also asked about antibiotics, and the answer I got was, well, you don't have to get antibiotics, but you'll get better a lot faster. So I was like, okay, I'm there. Within 3 weeks, and I knew that this would be healed, and as soon as I was comfortable enough in the knowing and the letting it go, and as soon as he was comfortable enough in reconnecting with me, we would reconnect. And so about 2 or 3 weeks later, we reconnected, and we had a really great conversation. And I don't perceive that it was an accident. I think it was my ability to let go of control and relax into how my experience was showing up for me. And then it manifested as quickly as it could after I was in that space to allow that to happen. So that to me, again, is part of, you know, what does it mean for me to be a spiritual person? And it's just constantly reminding myself and attracting experiences to myself that show me that I am so much greater than I think I am or than I perceive myself to be. And really everything that I want, all of my desires are already mine. I just need to really learn to chill out and relax into them.
And stop trying to control. But, you know, you mentioned about trust and relaxing. And how do, you know, there are some people that can do that. There are some people that, you know, seem to thrive on stress and seem to, you know, almost think that it's necessary in our lives. And it's a difficult area to help people, and there are a lot of people that just don't know how to trust. And mm-hmm. you know, you're going to talk a little bit about the law of attraction, even though that's not how you talked about it in the book, but you certainly, you know, we all know what that is, and we all know you also, I think, have worded it quite nicely as the art of effortless fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's things that are left out in the teachings, in The Secret, and, you know, and a lot of the teachers that teach about the law of attraction. And there's other laws, and I think it all sort of ties in. But, you know, for those people that aren't there yet, don't have self-love, how do you start to trust, and how do you relax into it? How do you trust that the universe is going to give you everything that you ask for? How do you know, you know, when you get that voice, how do you even know to trust the voice?
Yeah, the first thing I try and encourage my clients to do and people in workshops is to, first of all, we might breathe sometimes, or I might give them, like, my clients are all different, mm-hmm. and different things work for different people. And you never know what's going to happen, which is why I use different, you know, I borrow from other people, and I say, go check out this person's website or that person's website. But I have found, as I have been using, I have decided that I'm going to become EFT certified. So I'm studying all of those videos, and there's an EFT, what do you call it, like a world seminar or whatever going on this week. And I've been using that more and more in my practice, and I really find that it's amazing. What I'm finding with it, and as I'm experimenting with it, and I'm asking everybody I know if they'll be a guinea pig, is that you don't even have to be in a state of relaxation. You can get yourself there by tapping through it. Now, in traditional EFT, and a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with it, there are certain tapping points that you tap different energy meridians, and you say, even though I have this anxiety, discomfort, whatever it is that shows up, I deeply and completely accept myself. And you can get yourself to a point of non-resistance where you're just completely comfortable with however you show up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you feel like you are mean to somebody or, you know, however you show up, you can get yourself to a state of being really relaxed about it. And in my work, what I help people to do is to recognize that all of their suppressed emotions, all of the stuff that we have thought has been wrong with us our whole lives, is actually our gift. And that's actually our life purpose comes from healing those perceived limitations about ourselves. And what I'm finding is that there are certain exercises that I do in my workshops and in workbooks and so forth, where I ask people to list certain things that they don't like about themselves. And then what we can do, and this is what I've been experimenting with people, is we can choose a different thought. So, for example, in my book, I talk about how I always had self-esteem issues and how I always thought that I was fat. So, for me, you know, choosing a different thought might be something like, even though I, you know, am heavier than I would like to be, I deeply and completely accept myself. And I choose to see myself as beautiful. And it's almost like with the tapping, as you select a different thought, you know, you can do 10,000 affirmations and still not believe something, mm-hmm. but it's almost like as you do the tapping with each thought, it almost embeds, you know, and it's amazing the way this seems to be happening. So what I've been doing is in my workshops and in my workbook, I'll go through the list of things that, you know, I'll ask people to list all of these experiences where they felt inadequate or whatever one's particular block is. And what I'm finding is if you replace that thought with something else, with the opposite, it happens so much more quickly, and people seem to be freeing themselves up so much more quickly. I was last week or 2 weeks ago, and this doesn't usually happen for me, and it was really weird that it was coming up because I'm normally pretty, my ex calls me cavalier about finances. I always have enough money. It always shows up at the right time. And for whatever reason, it might be this math panic. I started freaking out. And I'm like, well, where is this coming from? It doesn't make sense. So I tapped on it, and I realized that, you know, I was feeling some insecurities about my work. And that's not my experience. My experience with my work is that people are transformed by it, and people love my work, and people tell their friends, and, you know, I get referrals and all of that. But for whatever reason, some old programming showed up, and it was linked to my work and my paranoia about my financial situation, which in fact had not changed. Well, it had improved. You know, my financial situation keeps getting better and better. And financial freedom, I realized, is a state of mind. And so what I did was I used my work, and I looked at my past and my programming, and I saw that somewhere in the back of my somewhere in my experience, I've always had a little bit of uneasiness. And in fact, I got married to the person I got married to because subconsciously I wanted to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I know my whole life, like I grew up in a pretty well-to-do family, but I think I always had some doubt about whether I could actually take care of myself. So I recognized that, oh, this is something that I've been carrying with me. So what I did was I took my work, which showed me, oh, these are things that you've been carrying along with you since childhood. Okay, write it all down. And I did, and then from that, I transformed the thought into something that I preferred. And Lori, within 20 minutes, I felt so financially free that I set up a workshop with a girlfriend and told her, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to do this workshop. I want this much, you know, I want people to pay this much money. if it's one day, it's going to be, you know, this much money. If it's 2 days, it's going to be this much money, and I want it, you know, tell me when you have a date. And so she said, well, I don't have anything available until after July, unless you want to do May 30th and 31st. I'm like, okay, I'm there. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, boom, within an hour, I switched from feeling panicky to feeling completely financially free, and then having the direct manifestation that showed me that I could create as much wealth as I wanted.
Right.
And that's what I'm working on now with my work, because I feel like it is so transformational in being able to help people get from where they don't want to be, or where they are, where they feel stuck, to manifesting the exact opposite and the exact experience they want, and trusting in that. So that's what I'm working on now, because once we can sort of let go of our self-doubt and our negativity, and I'm finding that the EFT combined with my work really, really, really is such a transformational tool that it's almost like you don't even have to believe it. If you just do the process, it just seems to happen. And that's really exciting to me.
That is exciting. You mentioned in your book about, you know, usually what you have to do is you have to give to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of ties in here, because if you're talking about money, you know, a lot of times, you know, we become so fearful that we are, you know, blocked in doing things or giving money or, you know, areas within ourselves that we need to, again, let go of it and know that we will receive it.
Right. Money is a really tough thing because it's our main energy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are feeling, and this can happen if you have debt or if you're just, you know, if you just make enough, it causes us to stress out. And so it's very difficult to be in a positive place where we're like, okay, money is coming in, when I love the way I live and I love my life and all of that. If, you know, you're living in a sixth floor walk up in a ghetto and you're just, you know, scraping to make ends meet, it's very difficult to put yourself in that situation. So what I'm finding with, you know, just the people who I'm using as guinea pigs, because this aspect of my work is only a couple weeks old, so I haven't even given formal presentations on it, and I'm so looking forward to being able to present them. So if anybody out there knows, you know, places for me to teach it, I'm really looking for, you know, places to help people deal with this. But what I'm finding is that if we're in that fear space, we're just going to create more of it. If we're in the space where we're in a lot of debt, we end up looking at our debt and focusing on our debt, and we end up taking the things out of our life that we end up stripping the joy. You know, instead of taking our kids, you know, out for ice cream or extras, or instead of us going and doing things that we enjoy, we end up cutting back on all those joy things. And we end up budgeting so that, you know, we can be fed and have heat and that kind of stuff. And it's really manifesting in the wrong direction. You know, we're manifesting out of fear of, oh my goodness, you know, what if I can't, you know, do this or do that? And we end up, it takes over our energy field. And so what I'm finding again, and to everybody out there, EFT, by the way, is a free thing. Gary Craig has this wonderful website, emofree.com, and the basic EFT manual is on there. So if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, his work is free on the internet. And, you know, there are many people, myself included, who have many free programs that can help people get into alignment with what it is that they're looking for, and, you know, manifesting their dreams. So what I'm giving here is nothing that people wouldn't be able to actually do on their own if they are in that fear space. And I sort of lost my train of thought, but when we're in the mindset of, oh my goodness, there's not enough, you know, because that's what debt and, you know, living sort of paycheck to paycheck is, it's a not enough, we just create more of that. So if we can get ourselves out of that by using whatever methods we can, or, you know, going for a walk or enjoying the beach. You know, there are many free beaches now that the weather is getting warmer. It's a really great thing to do. Or just, you know, try and appreciate the things that you do have, and just the stuff that stresses you out, if you can either tap on it or meditate on it or really look at it and see what thoughts you have. And that's where my work helps people to see what thoughts you have that have caused you to be in whatever situation you are. Because once we recognize the underlying thought behind our situation, then we have the tools to change it. But until we can identify what those thoughts are, we can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
It just sticks.
Right. So, talking about giving to receive, do you want to go mm-hmm. into that a little bit more? When you're feeling in the lack, it's hard to get yourself into a place where you can feel that you can give.
Yeah. You know, the best way that I think people who are in a really stressful state of lack is, you know, if you want money, help somebody else make money. You know, or, you know, you can volunteer, you can, you know, go out and support maybe a walkathon or something like that, because just being in the energy of money or whatever it is that you want to be in, if you're giving to help somebody else achieve their goals, then you find that your goals are meant to, like, for example, you know, I kind of do a whole bunch of different things. And when I do my radio program, World Awaken Talk Radio, I connect with so many more people who are, you know, doing radio. And when I am doing workshops, I end up connecting with so many more people who are doing workshops. And whatever I focus on, that's what seems to appear in my life. So if people, like if you're looking for love, you know, love comes in many, many, many different forms. You know, perhaps going to a senior citizen's home or going to a hospital and, you know, assisting in some way. Because there are ways that we can help other people without, like, if going back to the money thing, if you don't have money, you can help somebody else make money without giving them your money. Because your energy is like money. It's an energy exchange, and that's what money is. So if you're looking to, you know, clear that, you know, perhaps even share what I'm sharing here tonight. Say, oh, you know, I heard this lady on the radio and she was talking about, you know, how she became literally financially free within 20 minutes. Let me show you how she did that, because after listening to her, you know, I did it all myself and wow, look at these amazing results. And then, you know, as anything you can do to help support your cause in whatever that is, that will get that energy rolling. And the moment you know or you have an idea of something that you would like in your life, the universe is already putting in place all of these different scenarios that will bring that to you. And the letting go and allowing that to happen in your life instead of stepping on your foot and self-sabotaging and doing all of that will allow that to, you know, much more quickly manifest in your life. So in giving what we want, that is, you know, a good way of going about doing that. And we are infinitely creative. So if, you know, perhaps even volunteering at like the local school, you know, for a PTA thing or something like that, and helping the school earn money or whatever that is, whatever draws you to do something, you know, that can be something that you're like, oh, okay, that fits for me, because not everything will fit for everybody. And, you know, perhaps even at a local food kitchen, you know, helping people to feel better about themselves and to, you know, feel safe, secure, and divinely guided, just to be there as a voice for hope for someone. Because if you're a voice for hope for someone, then you give yourself hope. And whatever you're giving out to somebody else, that's what you're going to be receiving. So it really is like a cycle. Where, you know, you give and then it comes back to you and then you give more.
Right. Okay. So you talk about the universal mind and how mm-hmm. we never have a thought that's not in alignment with the universal mind. Tell us about what that means for you and how that assists people.
What that means, universal mind to me, means that all of these things that I perceive. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to show up tomorrow, but it does mean that if I focus on this thing or that thing, or, you know, reaching, say I want to reach, you know, 3 million people or, you know, 300 million people or whatever it is with my work, you know, Universal Mind will set up the right scenario for me to do that. And as long as I'm focusing on that and following that path, circumstances will present themselves that will allow me to fulfill that goal. And then I may switch. I may find a different goal that I want. I might be like, you know what, that's fine. I don't want to do that anymore. Now I want to do something, you know, that's more intimate with people or whatever that, however that shows up. But Universal Mind is, for me, when I go within or meditate or have an inspired idea, is allowing myself to trust that that is the greater me, that intuition or whatever it is that I get, that really happy, high thought, is the real me. And everything else that I think is standing in my way is my doubt and my fear and my identification with my individuality and perceiving that I'm all alone in whatever it is. Because really, we're never all alone, or really there's only one of us. So, you know, any way you want to put it, either we're not alone and we're, you know, connected to the universal mind, or there's one of us. From my perspective, it's all one. So if I, you know, desire a thing or, you know, an experience or a circumstance, allowing myself to trust and believe in that and having the courage, because it takes a tremendous amount of courage sometimes to believe in your inner voice, in the dictates of what's going on inside. And that comes back to self-love. But when you can have the courage to believe in that and then take those baby steps, because it's always baby steps, you're never asked to really jump off a cliff, then the more courageous you are in taking those baby steps, the more quickly you will realize that, okay, this dream that I have, this goal, is there waiting for me. And you can wait, you know, you can wait and allow things to happen, or you can step quickly. And the more courageous you are, the more quickly you'll step. And the more you wait, it'll still be there, but it'll just take a lot longer, you know, for you to have your dreams manifest. And it's all dependent upon your willingness to believe in yourself,
right,
and the universal mind, or, you know, the universal mind I perceive is the inner self, the hope, the guidance system that will direct us to where we're going.
Right. So once we're in alignment, once we trust, then everything flows. It's just when we resist and we get our ego involved or something else, fear, that sort of takes us out of alignment.
Yeah, that's what I perceive and that's what I experience.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about, you know, the steps to creating the life you love and the art of effortless fulfillment.
Okay. I did a free teleseminar last month, and I really had a great time putting it together. And in the teleseminar, I wanted to create or tell people 5 steps to creating the life you love. And the first step was to get clear. And the way we get clear is, or the way I get clear, is that I will go within and I will meditate on what it is that I want. Another way of getting clear is to clean out the clutter. And it may sound silly, or it may not, but if your house is filled with clutter, or your work environment, or your car, or whatever it is filled with clutter, that's a direct representation of our mind. So if you have a clean environment to work out of or to be in, that allows, it's almost like the womb of creativity. Mm. It allows for things to happen, almost like a clean painting canvas. Like, you have to start off with a white canvas. Otherwise, whatever you might paint, like, you can't be inspired with a messy canvas with all these different things on your canvas. If you start off with a clear canvas, then the inspiration can come through. And that's the same with our environment. If we can get clear and create a clear space for things to happen, then we can start tuning in to what it is that we really want, instead of stressing about, Oh, you know, I need to pick up all those shoes. Oh, I need to fold that mountain of laundry. Oh, I have this stack of papers that needs to be dealt with. Oh, I really need to clean out my car. Instead of worrying about all of that stuff, we can be in a space where we can actually have the clarity to focus on what it is that we do want. And once we get clear, you know, once we clear our space and have that place where we can allow for that creativity to sort of flourish, to be given birth, then we need to listen. We need to listen to what our intuition is telling us, our guidance system is telling us. When I moved to Minneapolis and I met my husband, I was homeless. This is in my early 20s, my mid-20s. And I just wanted a good job. And, I mean, homeless to me is I was mooching off of friends. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a lot of meditation because I was really not happy with where I was. And as I was doing my meditation, I was being directed. I was being given a directive that I needed to move to Minnesota because the man I was going to marry was there. And I didn't care about that, actually, at the time. I wanted a job. And but the more I listened, you know, the more it was like this all-pervasive thought that I had to move to Minnesota because the man I was going to marry was there. And then the second day I arrived in Minnesota, I met, you know, my would-be husband. So that was in my ability to actually listen to what was going on. And then what happened was I had to be courageous and actually take that step and move from New York to Minnesota, where the only person I knew in Minnesota was my brother. Mm. And in being courageous and taking that step, you know, everything else manifested for me. You know, I met my you know, husband, and, you know, we ended up eventually having two kids, and while it lasted, we had a pretty good life together. And then, you know, the time came for us to sort of depart because we had sort of learned what we needed to learn, and then we moved on. But anyway, first I had to get clear on what I wanted, and I didn't have, you know, all my possessions with me, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, doing this or doing that. I was house sitting for somebody, and I didn't have my stuff with me, so, you know, it wasn't messy. And then I listened. And I got, from that listening, I realized that I needed to do something. And then I had to be courageous and take that step. Mm-hmm. And then after the courage, you know, I had to be courageous and then taking the step. And you have to take the step. You know, it's one thing to be courageous and be like, oh, yes, I'm courageous. It's another thing to actually do it. So you have to do it. Once you muster up the courage, you need to actually take that baby step. And once you take the step, you need to relax. You need to relax and know that everything is working out. And in that relaxation, the stuff can happen. And that's where I'm working with people now, is helping them to get to that point of relaxation, because that is difficult. We're surrounded with stress. And, you know, with these economic times and everything that we hear about all the time, it's like, you know, people are becoming more stressed. And I'm not really seeing... You know, I was feeling the, you know, harsh reality or whatever people are calling it of the economic times, but I wasn't seeing it because in my experience, I'm not really experiencing other than vicariously through all of the stimulation I'm getting. In relaxing, you can do that through meditation is a really great way of doing that, through journaling and being able to see what it is that you're manifesting for yourself. And breathe it, you know, breathe it in. Perhaps say a mantra, like, I am safe, protected, and divinely guided. There are other mantras. There are, like, Sanskrit mantras that are out there. One is that I have found actually very useful, and I might have to post this on a website or something because I don't know if people would remember it, but the mantra is Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And what that does is if you keep repeating that, sort of a calm comes over, and it's just like, wow, just this very intense, deep, calm relaxation I've noticed comes over. And I don't know how it works. I have no idea how it works or why it works. I just know that it works. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with, you know, most of the stuff that I teach people or help people to do. I don't know why most of the stuff works. I just know that it works. And again, that mantra is Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And I think it means something like, I invite you to remove the obstacles in my life or whatever. It's like a Ganesh mantra or something like that. Nice. And that really helps. I don't do yoga, but I do walk. And I find that just walking allows me to, you know, being active allows me to let go of whatever stresses I have. And maybe go for a massage or, you know, go in the hot tub or whatever it is that people use to get into that state of feeling like they're totally relaxed. And that will help you. And if you can align yourself and maintain that state and not allow yourself to get sucked into the drama of life, the more you can maintain that state of relaxation and perhaps tell yourself, I am safe, I am protected, I am divinely guided, or something like that, if you carry it with you, that can help you to stay in alignment with, what it is that you're attracting. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can be in that state of relaxation and not stress about things, the really good things that you want to attract are going to come to you. And you may not even know what those really good things are. But if you can be relaxed about it, you'll find that your life just flows really smoothly.
Mm-hmm. So of the five steps, which is 1, get clear, 2, listen, 3, have the courage, 4, mm-hmm. act, and 5, relax. I mean, yeah. I'm guessing that, you know, everybody's very unique. And so people will get caught up in different areas depending on where they are in their life journey, you know, I guess who they are. You know, I know a lot of people that... courage is a problem. 2, mm-hmm. taking the action is a problem. Getting to the point of relaxation, they don't quite get there because they're stuck on, you know, the other two, and then they get caught up in the fear, and then it's this cycle that, you know, is really hard to break. So where do you see with your clients and, you know, some of the things that have been occurring with you, you know, where are you finding that most people get stuck? How do you assist them to get out of it?
I have a client who called me the other day, who she was going for a job interview. And she was like, Carrie, I don't know what to do. And because she was really nervous, and she knew she didn't want to go into this interview in a nervous state. And so I sat there on the phone with her, and since I've been using the EFT in conjunction with my work, and I know what some of her, you know, her issues are, we went through them, and first we brought up all the negativity, all the stuff that she perhaps didn't really want to look at. And that's what keeps a lot of people back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what my work focuses on is embracing the stuff that we don't want to look at. Mm-hmm. For me, when I wrote the book and was going through my process, I really didn't want to admit to myself that I disliked my body. And that I would judge other people according to, you know, their bodies. That was a tough one for me. Mm-hmm. And it was also difficult for me to recognize that everybody in my life was there to show me what I had been thinking about myself.
Yeah.
So to get to that point of relaxation with myself, and I find that my clients, you know, I love all of my clients. I thoroughly enjoy all my clients. And, we'll laugh about, you know, some of the issues because when they're presented, when they present themselves, it really is kind of like, oh yeah, I created that. And being able to admit that the issue is there and having sort of an accepting approach of however it is that you show up. Because you, for example, you might feel really angry about some circumstance in your life, but you might have been raised to feel that being angry is not okay, that, you know, it's bad to be angry. And a lot of people on the spiritual path feel like anger is not a good thing, and they can't embrace it, so we end up being stuck. But what I teach is no matter how you show up, accept it. Because when you can accept, you know, how you're showing up, that's where the courage comes from. You know, if you can accept, okay, if I can accept, you know what, sometimes I might show up and I might not be the nicest person on the face of the planet, but I'm okay with that. You know, if I can accept that aspect of myself, it does not matter how anybody else perceives me. As long as I'm okay with me, then everything else is cool. And that seems to me to be a big hindrance or a big help, depending upon whether you can embrace it or not, to the courage. Because if I can have the courage to accept all of my failings, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, I've been there, done that. I know what that's like. So I don't need to allow that to hold power over me anymore. And once I can release the, you know, allow myself to accept that and release the power that something has over me, it's almost like this invincibility seems to come over me, and I can do just about anything. And I find that, you know, my process is that I allow myself to become completely vulnerable, like way more vulnerable than, you know, even, you know, than a lot of people will. Like, I just put all my stuff out there and, you know, collect the pieces little by little and allow them to become more integrated into who I am. And in allowing myself to be vulnerable, nobody can hurt me. And in that vulnerability and being able to accept exactly how it is that I show up, I become invincible. And that is my sort of label of courage, is to look at my stuff, be courageous enough to accept, yep, that's all mine. You know what? I might feel contempt for this person. Yep, I'm okay with that. And in fact, that feels delicious, you know, and it does. In some situations, I have found that, you know, I might not like somebody and they might not like me, but I'm really happy and cool with that because it draws out my passions. Mm. And, a lot of people would beat themselves up for feeling not so positive and loving, but, it doesn't matter because it's all reflections of ourselves. So if I see an aspect of myself that is perhaps my shadow or something like that, and I can love it while feeling contempt for it, then I have power, and then I can have the courage to confront it and to, you know, address it. But if I can't accept how I show up, I can't have that courage because I'm afraid of myself.
Mm-hmm. So it's being really brutally authentic. And
yes.
Yeah. Right. And I'm the same as you. I think vulnerability is a strength, not a weakness. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, more of us need to go into our hearts and to actually experience vulnerability so that we can get to that place where we do understand that being vulnerable is a strength and not a weakness. Mm-hmm. I think many people, again, there's words that we have judgment, like responsibility. And vulnerability is another one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the more vulnerable we allow ourselves, because really we're being vulnerable to ourselves. If I can tell you something that I fear, or, you know, something that I'm experiencing that maybe I don't want to share with the whole world, but then if I share it with the whole world and I share that aspect of myself, that not only frees it from me, and it's like, yep, this is how I am, this is how I'm showing up, that also allows for whoever's listening who may not have that courage to sort of borrow it vicariously.
Mm.
And so not only am I helping me, but I'm helping whoever else out there I reflect to, and they're like, wow, you know what? I have this thing. She's talking directly to me, and I can do this. I'm as worthy as anybody else, and that's a really big sticking point because, you know, so many of us grow up in not even just families. It's like my family was actually pretty great, and there were some experiences like going to school and on the bus and, you know, perhaps with some other relatives that showed me aspects of myself that, you know, I felt were inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all have something that has sort of stuck with us. And if somebody can see that in me, it might give them the strength to muster up their own courage to be themselves. Because I'm sure you found this too, Lori, that with the ability to be vulnerable, not only is your experience more authentic, but everything about your life, it's almost like this exercise in spiritual intimacy. Mm. Like I become more intimate with myself, and I become more intimate in my relationships, and the more honest I can be with myself. And if something might scare me to death, and I might not want to tell somebody who's very close to me, but then if I do it, you know, it creates this just overwhelming intimacy where I can be accepted by whoever it is that I'm telling, and it allows me to accept myself even more.
Right. Definitely. Do you want to talk about how journaling and delegating tasks and...
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's a great thing. My whole... Probably since some point in childhood, I've journaled a lot. And there is a point where I would journal and decide what I wanted and so forth. But I perceived that, you know, it was me doing it all. And then I realized that at some point, and I don't know when this was, it probably more grew than anything, that I was the universe, or that, you know, the universe was on my side. I don't think it at this point or at that point where I realized that I was, in fact, the universe. But what I would do is I kept a little soul journal. And what I would do is I would decide what I wanted, and I would look at what I want, and I'd be like, well, I can do this, this, and this, but I don't know how the heck this is going to happen, or how that's going to happen, or how I'm going to manifest this. So what I would do is I would put little stars in my journal next to tasks that I wanted to delegate to the universe. And for example, when I started writing my book, and it took me a long time to get my book out, after I started writing my book, I wrote in my soul journal, okay, I need to find an editor. And after, you know, I wrote it down in there, and I just kind of forgot about it. It's kind of like once you put it in there, you can forget about it and release your attachment to it. Within 2 weeks, I was giving a speech at a Toastmasters competition. But it wasn't my speech competition. I was speaker for somebody else's evaluation contest or whatever. If there are any Toastmasters, they know what I'm talking about. So in this, I was visiting this other club, and I didn't know any of the people there. I was just, you know, their guest. And one of the women walked up to me, and she asked me if I had considered writing a book because she really enjoyed my material. And I said, oh, yes, in fact, I did start writing a book. But what I'm looking for is an editor. And she told me how she was an editor. And she told me how she was an editor of music textbooks for schools. And I said, okay, well, I need to find an editor for my genre, you know, of book. And she said, well, there are two kinds of editors. There are good editors and there are bad editors. And she said, you know, I've won all these awards and I'm a good editor. And she said, I'll work with you. And this manifested because I just wrote down in this book, I don't know how to find an editor, find me an editor. And so then after that, I was plugging along, and I decided that I needed to find a publisher. And I didn't know how I was going to find a publisher. And I looked, I don't know if it was a book that fell off of my shelf or whatever, but it was a book had made itself known to me from my bookshelf that I hadn't opened in about 7 years. And in the book was a business card of an old boyfriend. And on his business card, he had, was the name of his business. And he has a very, very common name. So it's like one of those names you can look him up on the internet and you'll find, you know, 10,000 guys with his name. So it's just like, okay, this is not going to work. But I didn't remember the name of his company. So when I found the name of his company, I looked him up on the internet, and immediately I found him within like 20 minutes. And because he had been a publisher. The card was about his publishing company. And I ultimately didn't go with either of those two people, but it just shows how quickly those things can manifest in your life, because both of those people kind of showed up for me, and then ultimately later on, different people showed up for me. But when I was asking for what I wanted, it immediately showed up, and both of those people were, you know, exactly appropriate for what I needed at the time. And it happens all the time. I'll put something out there. For example, this is a really fun one. A little while ago, I had a woman staying in my house with me, and I said to her, I said, you know, it would be, and this is right after I was going through my divorce, and I said, you know, it would be really good if I could just have $10,000 to pay off these bills and, you know, give me a little extra cash and, you know, maybe even an extra $1,000 a month. And this is while I refuse to go out and find a job because I want to do what I love, which is what I'm doing. And within 2 weeks, my ex called me and he said, Carrie, with the way this economy is going, why don't I give you, you know, with our settlement, I don't think you should have your money in the stock market. He said, why don't I give you $10,000 now, and for the rest of the, you know, our settlement, why don't I just give you an extra $1,000 a month until it's all, you know, paid off? And this is within 2 weeks of me, my saying to her, you know what, it would be really great if I had this. And I just said it, and I let go of it. So it's kind of, you know, stating that thing and allowing the universe to just take care of it, because I had no intention of figuring out how that was going to happen. And boom, it just landed in my lap, $10,000 plus an extra $1,000 a month, you know, for my divorce stuff. So if we can expand our minds and open up and be like, okay, I am greater than I appear, then things just will manifest. And keeping a journal about the things that we desire and just delegating to the universe saying, okay, I can't handle this right now, why don't you take care of that? And it will happen. It happens. And it happens in the funniest, most miraculous ways. And you never know how it's going to happen. It happens.
What do you think is the reason, or what do you think is one of the biggest reasons the law of attraction doesn't work for everybody?
I think the biggest reason is that we can't relax. That we are clinging to our dreams so hard that it's like we're grasping onto it. And if we're grasping onto it so hard and we can't release our attachment to it and our grip over it, it can't go out and do what it needs to do to come back into our lives. When we can relax and be like, okay, well, everything's taken care of itself, I'm exactly where I need to be right now, then as we're being mindful and living our lives and just being in the moment, the universe is doing its job. The greater part of you is doing its job. The universe knows what you want because you are the universe. You don't have to sit there and do 10,000 affirmations. Oh, I will be rich. I will be rich. I will be happy. I will be happy. I will have a great lover. You know, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is enjoy yourself. And the more mindful and present you can be, the more quickly that can show up, because you're not attached to a future expectation. You're putting your attention in the present moment, which is now. And that allows you to release the attachment to the other things. And if you have other things you need to get out, journal about it. Write it down so that you know that it's down on paper and it's out of you, because we need to get it out of ourselves sometimes. Just get it down, and if you need to delegate, delegate. And, you know, that allows me to relax. Getting it out on paper and being like, okay, you take care of this, that allows me to relax. And then I can go for a massage or take a bath or do a mantra or whatever to help me relax even more, or do my EFT or whatever it is that I'm feeling drawn to do in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Control is probably one of our biggest issues, because we always seem to feel we have to do it. Like we have to do everything. We have to, you know, networking and letting go and connecting with people and allowing others to work with us, or allowing the universe to work with us. I mean, it's an issue that I think a lot of people have, where we're not able to clearly and effortlessly relax and let go of that control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the hardest thing to work on, but it's the most rewarding aspect, is to just allow yourself to learn how to relax.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a great pleasure talking with you again. I hope to have you back again. Well, we're going to do some work together anyway with World Awakening. Yeah. So you're probably going to have your own show, you know, soon.
Yes, I'm very excited to get back into that. I just needed the right venue. So,
So again, why don't you let people know how they can get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me. Probably, I have many different domains that lead to my website, but the easiest way is probably to go to healingcenter.com. And as you click on there, you can go healingcenter.com or carriecannon.com or divinewithin.com. But healingcenter.com is probably the best way to get there. And I also have, you know, in addition to the workshops that I'm so excited to start teaching, I have free teleseminars that I give once a month, and you could sign up for one of those. Or I have a year-long Create the Life You Love tip of the day to help people get into alignment. And a lot of that is about relaxation and, you know, repeating a mantra every day and, you know, helping people to get into alignment with who they are. So that, you know, that might be a good tool for people too.
Great. So. Perfect. All right. Well, again, thank you very much. It was a pleasure as always, and we'll connect soon.
Thank you so much, Lori. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.